It is God's desire that as surely as the dawn breaks forth daily, so will the revelation of His goodness be evident daily in every area of your life. Welcome to Dawn Extras with Tim Grage.
I had that word a few months ago in my spirit regarding the wilderness, and I had not preached it. But God, you know, this is the season for it, and I trust God that it will be a word in season for everyone. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we rise to our feet? So the title of my message is called Whispers in the Wilderness. Amen. As is our custom, our core scripture will be Genesis 37 from 16 to 28, Romans 5, 3 to 5, Romans 8, 37, Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. And it says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint. Amen. It says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen. Our last scripture will be Romans chapter 8, verse 37. And it says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Amen. Let us pray. Everlasting Father, we commit the word to you. I commit myself to you. Let my tongue be like the pen of the ready writer. Grant me utterance. Grant me the supply of your spirit, O God, that as I speak your word, O Father, let life come forth, O Father, Lord. Let the entrance of your word, let it bring light. Let it bring understanding to the simple, O God, that your people may receive a word of encouragement today. They will leave here with their hope stirred, with their faith stirred, with peace released upon them today, Lord. Do a work in this place, Holy Spirit, that only you can do. We say to you be glory, to you be praise, Father, because we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. And God's saints said, amen and amen. Please take your seats, saints of God. Amen. I love the story of Joseph. You know, Pastor Tim talks about Joseph a lot. Even Pastor Charlene touched on Joseph last night. She was talking like, Pastor Charlene, don't go there. Go no, that's my message. You know, and luckily she only spoke briefly about Joseph. But Joseph, there's so much we can learn from Joseph. You know, we talk about Joseph all the time, about him going from the pit to Potiphar's house, from Potiphar's house, he goes into the prison, from the prison he goes to the palace. And, you know, and it sounds so glamorous, all the things that he went through from this day, and God was with him, and God prospered him, and God made him, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, in all of that, there were so many wilderness experiences. That was not the promise that God gave him. So even though he went through all of that, and even though he found favor in those places, it was still not where God had called him to be. And so I can imagine him having so many wilderness experiences as he went through on his journey to where God had promised him to go. You know, God had given him a word. God had given him a promise. But the journey that he had to endure to get there was marked with betrayal, with isolation, with depression, with pain, and an unshakable faith in God. Imagine being a teenager from a wealthy home. I mean, Jacob was wealthy. He was the apple of his father's eyes. He was the golden child. You know, so he had everything at his beck and call. He had servants. He had slaves. You know, he had a father that loved him. He had everything that he wanted. And all of a sudden, in the twinkling of an eye, all that is taken away from him. And he's sold into slavery by the very people that were supposed to protect him. Imagine his confusion when, you know, the slave traders or slave masters are tying him to the camels, you know, because them, when they got a slave, they tied you with chains and shackles, and you were shackled with other slaves as well. Imagine that 17-year-old with confusion in his eyes and with pain, wondering what's going on. He probably was like, you know, probably was like, no, this is a joke. This cannot be happening to me. Probably begging his brothers, okay, I'm sorry. I will not be a tattletale anymore. I'll not be a gossiper anymore. Just let me go. And they were there laughing at him. Imagine the pain in his eyes. Imagine the pain in his heart as they took him away. And then, okay, they take him away. And then he's thinking, ah, my father's got money. My father's got men. They're going to come and rescue me. Day one passes, no rescuer. Day two passes, nobody comes to save him. Day after day, week after week, he's hopeful, he's trusting God that my father is going to come and get me now. As he stays in that dungeon or in that Potiphar's house, he's trusting God that he's going to be set free. But as the weeks roll into years, he realizes, okay, no one's coming to save me. I got to save myself. You know, and in that moment, he has to make a decision. Am I going to become a victim of my circumstance? Am I going to thrive even in my wilderness? And he made a choice that even in his wilderness, he was going to thrive and he was going to prosper, even as he still held on to the promise of God for his life. Amen. And he chose to thrive in his wilderness until his change came. So what is a wilderness experience? The wilderness experience is a season of life marked by delay, discomfort, uncertainty, or isolation, where things don't seem to align with what God has promised you, is the space between prophecy and fulfillment, between dream and reality, between promise and possession. It's not punishment from God, and it's not sent by God to break you, but it can be used by God to build you. God used the wilderness of Joseph to build him and made him into a great man that was able to rule a nation. Amen. The wilderness experience is not defined by physical location, but by spiritual and emotional climate. It's when you know that God has called you, but you feel hidden or you feel overlooked. You know, it's when you're sowing in faith, but you see little results or no results at all. It's when you're surrounded by people, yet you feel alone in your burden. When you're holding on to a dream, but it looks like life is the opposite of what that dream is supposed to be. You hear no clear direction, even while you've been praying and obeying God. You feel stuck, but you don't know how to move forward. You are dealing with a loss or a betrayal, and you are struggling to heal. We've all experienced the wilderness in one area of our life. Am I speaking to real people? Has anyone been in a wilderness or is currently going through a wilderness? Because the truth is, we're either going through it, or we're currently in it, or we're about to enter it. Don't say amen to that, but you know, but that's the reality of life. Trouble comes always, whether you want it or not. And so we know what it means to be in a wilderness. And it's not a nice season. It's not a nice place to be at all. You know, some biblical examples of wilderness experience. We've got Joseph. His wilderness was the pit. Slavery and prison, unjust, unfair, yet loaded with purpose. It lasted 13 years, and after that, he became the ruler of Egypt. Say, I reject 13 years, oh. It's too long. Amen. You know, 13 years, but he stood his ground in faith, and eventually he came out the ruler of Egypt. We had David also in the wilderness. He was anointed as king, but chased by Saul. He lived in caves and among enemies for many years. His wilderness, though, built character for his crowns. By the time he became king, he had built character in the place of the wilderness. So even though the wilderness was a bad place, he was able to turn it into something good and spend that time honing his skills, becoming a mighty man of war, and becoming a great leader. So that by the time he became a king, he was ready for that blessing. We also had Moses, who was in the wilderness for 40 years before returning to deliver Israel. It wasn't wasted time. It prepared him for leadership. We also had Elijah in the wilderness. After a great victory on Mount Carmel, he ran into isolation, into depression, into hunger. But there, God fed him and reset his perspectives. We also had Jesus, who was in the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit into the desert, not to suffer, but to confront the enemy. And he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when he came out of the wilderness, that's when he began to do all the miracles that we saw. Power was released in that time of the wilderness experience for Jesus. So the modern day example of our wilderness experience is, you're a business owner. You believe that God has called you to build a kingdom company, to be a kingdom financier, but you are stuck in financial delay. You're stuck with closed doors. What God has promised and what you've trusted God for and what you are seeing in your business do not align. And you're wondering, but God, when? You've called me to be a kingdom financier, but I'm struggling in debt. I'm struggling with financial delay. It doesn't even have to be a business owner. It can be someone that is working. But you know that God has called you to finance his kingdom. But your reality is completely different from what God has called you to be. You know, it can also be one who's been trying to get a job. You've been applying for jobs. You're not even getting rejection emails. You know there's one where he does even email you and say, oh, sorry for applying, but you're not the good fit for this. Nobody's responding to you. You know, no interviews, nothing. And you're just wondering, God, when is my break going to come in this area of a new job? Or you can be a single person who knows that marriage is part of your destiny, but you feel unseen, waiting for the right partner. You may be a minister who has been called to the prophetic, to make global impact, but yet you're still pastoring a church of just a few people and wondering, God, when is my breakthrough going to come? You can also be a mother or father praying for your child who is wayward, but yet you can see no breakthrough yet. You can be a believer standing in faith for healing in your body, declaring God's word, but the symptoms keep persisting. You know, you're standing on the word, I am healed by his stripes, I'm healed. As you're saying it, as you move that leg, you just say, you know, the pain just keeps reminding you that this word you're speaking and your experience are completely, you know, opposite to each other, but yet you choose to stand on God's word. You know, say to your neighbor right now, I am coming out with more than I lost. Hallelujah. Oh, wilderness experiences or wilderness seasons are not a reflection of God's absence. God is not absent in the wilderness, but an invitation to a deeper intimacy, to preparation, and to transformation. Don't waste your wilderness experience. Tell your neighbor, don't waste the wilderness. Because it's a place of preparation for you. It's an invitation to deeper intimacy with God, to preparation and to transformation. God does not send the wilderness. You must remember that God does not send you trouble. God does not send you pain. He does not send you sickness. He does not send you death. God does not cause the wilderness experience, but he never wastes it. If you walk with him through it, you will come out carrying more than you lost, just like Joseph did. Amen. The wilderness is not God's punishment or testing ground. It's often a result of a broken world, wrong decisions, ours and other people's wrong decisions, demonic interference, because we have a devil that hates your guts, amen, or just part of the journey between promise and manifestation. But even in the wilderness, God is not the sender of affliction, but he is the sustainer. He is the provider, he is the guide, and he is the restorer. Hallelujah. The wilderness is not God's doing, but he will use it to prepare you, to position you, and to prosper you if you will walk with him through it and you will trust him through the journey. He is with you even right now as you're going through that storm, as you go through that trial, as you go through that difficulty. He is right there. You may not sense his presence. You may think, God, when? God, how? God, why? But he is with you even in that season. Amen. Hallelujah. So how do we survive the wilderness? Because it's not a nice place to be. Nobody wants to be in the wilderness. No one wants to be struggling. No one wants to be in a desert. No one wants to be in a place where you just don't know what to do, you know. But I have learned some lessons about the wilderness because I've also been through the wilderness. And from Joseph's life as well, there's some things I have learned from the life of Joseph and from my own personal life as it relates to lessons in the wilderness. And I call it lessons in the wilderness. The first lesson that I've learned, or that we can learn even through the life of Joseph, is that don't let what you're going through change your identity. Don't let what you're going through change your identity. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Romans 8, 16 to 17 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Nothing you are going through takes away the fact that you're a child of God. Nothing you are going through takes away the fact that you are called in Christ. Amen. Joseph never allowed slavery or prison to strip him of his royal identity. He remained a son of the covenant, not a product of circumstance. No matter what you're going through, never lose sight of who you are in Christ. You know, a lot of times, what we go through makes us redefine who we are. Redefine, it erodes our confidence in ourselves because you're thinking, you know, people are seeing me differently because of what I'm going through. But God is saying to you, don't let what you're going through rob you of your identity. Stand fast in who you are in Christ. He says you are more than a conqueror. He says you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. You are a king. You are a God on the earth. Do not let what you are going through change your identity or change your position in Christ. You are still seated in the heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. Nothing can move you from your position, not even trials, not situation, not even poverty, not even lack, not even death, not even sickness can move you. And let nothing shift you from who you are. Stand fast in your identity in Christ, irrespective of what life throws at you. Amen. No matter what you're growing through, never lose sight of who you are in Christ. You are a king. You are a queen. You are God on the earth. You are an overcomer. You are more than a conqueror. Do not allow your current pain or your lack or your sickness or frustrations change your perception about yourself. Daily remind yourself of who you are in Christ. Refuse to identify yourself based on where you currently are or what you are going through. You know the story of the man with the withered hand. He was called the man with the withered hand. Why was he not called the man with the one good hand? Because he had one good hand, right? You know, but why was he called by the one that was not good? So even in your own pain, even in your own place, whatever it is that you're going through, don't be called by the one with one withered hand. Be called by the one man with the one good hand, amen, till the other withered hand becomes good as well, amen. But refuse to be identified by what you are going through. Refuse it. Your environment does not define your identity. Your pain does not define your identity. Your lack does not define your identity. Your identity is Christ. You are still a king's kid. You are still seated in heavenly places, even if life looks like a pit or a prison right now. Amen. Number two, who's getting blessed this morning? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Number two, keep the faith. Stay in the word. Stay in prayer. Stay in the place of worship. Faith is how we bring heaven into our wilderness. Let me say that again. Faith is how we bring heaven into our wilderness. Joseph stayed spiritually sensitive. He interpreted dreams. He kept listening and he stayed connected. The wilderness does not reduce the power of God's word. it does not reduce the power of God's word. It does not reduce the efficacy of God's or prayer. Prayer is still powerful even in the wilderness. The word is still powerful even in the wilderness. So even in the wilderness, keep feeding your spirit. Stay in the word. Stay in prayer. Pray in tongues. Worship often. Keep going to church. Keep serving. Keep giving. Stay connected to the house of God, for it will keep you aligned with truth while the storm passes. Amen. Colossians 3 verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Jude 1:20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Stay in the word. Stay in prayer. Only the word can change us. You know, if you say, I'm not going to read the word, you're doing yourself. You know, it's like cutting off your nose to spite your face, because it is a word that will change you. It is a word that will bring your breakthrough. It is a prayer that will strengthen you. So if we choose not to do those things because you're angry with God, you're only punishing yourself for much longer. So no matter how hard it is, even if I only pray for 2 minutes, keep praying, keep pushing, stay in the word, stay in the house of God. You know, many of us are going through stuff for whatever reason. The first thing we want to do is not go to church anymore. I do not know why we do that, but that is where your help is from. So run to God, run to his presence, run to his house in the midst of your storm, because that is where you will find your help. And that is where you find healing and deliverance. Amen. Hallelujah. Number three, don't stop confessing the word and the outcome that you seek. Joseph never abandoned his dream. He could have let go, but he kept leaning into the vision. Keep declaring the end that God has showed you. Has he showed you an end? Has he showed you in that wedding dress walking down the aisle? Keep that picture before you. Has he showed you carrying your babies? Keep that picture before you. Has he showed you owning mega, you know, global business that has global impact? Keep that picture before you. What picture has God given you? What dream has he given you? What promise has he given you? Keep that picture before you, even in the midst of the storm. Amen. Speak over your health. Speak over your family, over your ministry, your job, your marriage, whatever it is. Keep the picture of the outcome that you seek before you, and keep declaring God's word, even if it feels like nothing is happening. Like Pastor Tim always says, if you obey the principles of faith, even if you don't believe, even if your faith is struggling to believe, he says, if you do what faith says you should do, you will receive the outcome. Amen. Faith sees, faith says, faith does. And if you do that, even in unbelief, you are still guaranteed the outcome that you seek. So keep standing on God's word. Keep pushing. Watch what you're saying. You know, a lot of times when we go through storms, it's so easy for us to change our confession. First of all, you start in faith. You're speaking the word. You're speaking the word. You're in faith. You're trusting God, you know. But time is passing. That 1 month becomes 2 months, becomes 6 months, becomes a year, becomes 2 years, becomes 5 years. And you're still trusting. And after a while, that confession begins to change. Begin to edit it to fit what you're going through right now. But we must not do that, irrespective of how long it takes. Keep speaking the word. Watch your mouth. Guard your tongue. Guard your tongue. If you have to bite your tongue when you want to see yourself speaking negatively, bite your tongue, because you negate all that you have done when you begin to speak negatively concerning your situation. Guard your tongue with all diligence. Bible says that everything can be controlled but the tongue. So show how powerful the tongue is. So in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your pain, catch yourself. Make sure your word is aligned to God's word and to the outcome that you seek. Hallelujah. Praise God. Number four, even in the wilderness, God sends you helpers. Even in the wilderness, God sends you helpers. God won't leave you alone. He will always send you help, even in the wilderness. He sent Potiphar, the prison keeper, and Pharaoh. They were all instrumental in Joseph's elevation. For David, he sent an Egyptian slave. I wrote the story there, but it's quite a long story, so I'm just going to talk about it. So David had just come back from fighting a war with his men. And when he got back to his house, his men, you know, his house had been raided. All the wives, all the children, all the things had been taken. And the men wanted to kill him. You know, and he asked God, should I pursue? Should I run after them? Will I overtake? Will I recover? God said, yes, run after them. You will find them. You will deliver your family. But he begins to go. He doesn't know where he's going. Doesn't know which way they've gone. You know, but he's just pursuing to see where his children are. And he's going. Bible says that there was an Egyptian slave that was left. Let me read the verse in 1 Samuel 30 verse. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Okay, let me just read it. From verse 10, it says, but David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 had stayed behind, who were so weak they could not cross the brook Besor. Then they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David. And they gave him bread and he ate, and they let him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had eaten no bread or drunk water for 3 days and three nights. Then David said to him, "To whom do you belong, and where are you from?" And he said, "I am a young man from Egypt, servant of the Amalekites, and my master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion in the southern area of the Cherith, blah, 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 Cherith of Judah, blah, blah, and burned Ziklag with fire." And David said to him, "Can you take me down to this troop?" So he said, "Swear to me by God that you will neither kill me or deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop." And when he had brought him down, there they were spread out all around the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of Philistines and from the land of Judah. So God had left an Egyptian slave for 3 days waiting for David and his men to find him, because he did not know where his family was. They had taken them and they had gone. But God left a helper. God left a helper in the desert for them. And that way they were able to recover all that had been stolen from them. God will never leave you without help. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, God will never leave you without help. Say to your other neighbor, God will never leave you without help. Amen. God will always send you help. And that help can come in any form. So you need to be discerning as well, to discern who your helper is, who your midwife is, who's an abortionist, because some people are abortionists. They're called to kill your dream. So you must walk in discernment to be able to discern who is my helper and who is not my helper. Amen. Hallelujah. But God will always send you help and will never leave you alone. 5, God, keep a good attitude. Keep a good attitude. Show the fruit of the Spirit. Say to your neighbor, keep a good attitude. Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." This is one of my favorite scriptures because it just tells us who we are as believers and how we're supposed to behave. We need to watch our attitude when we're in the wilderness. Joseph stayed excellent. He stayed faithful. He stayed kind, even when he had been wronged. There is no excuse for us as believers to behave badly because you're going through something. Everybody is going through something. Everybody has a battle that they're fighting. We all don't wear it on our faces, but we're all fighting something. And so we need to watch our attitude in the wilderness. Treat people with kindness. Treat people with respect. There is no excuse. There is no justification for the believer to be rude, to be disrespectful, to be a tyrant. Because you had a bad day at work, and you go home, your children are, you know, you're screaming at your kids, "Turn on the TV, you know, because you're having a bad day. Or you get to work because you fought your husband at home, you're snapping at your people at the office. It's not your fault that you fought. It's not their fault you fought with your husband. You know, we need to watch our attitude in the wilderness. If the shoe fits, wear it. Hallelujah. But we must watch. We are believers. And a believer is called to a higher standard of behavior. In every way you go. People must be able to reflect Christ. You know, when I've been reading the book of Acts, and it talks about how when people see them, people respect believers because they know that, these ones are children of God. But today, people don't even respect us anymore because we behave the same way as unbelievers behave. There is no distinction between a child of God and a child of the devil. That has to be different. We cannot say we're children of God and we're still fighting with anger. We're still fighting with malice. We're still keeping malice. We won't talk to someone for 2 years, 2 weeks, I mean, come on, guys. Or, you know, we are short-tempered. You know, you are the bully at work. You are the bully at school. That's unacceptable behavior. So even in the wilderness, catch yourself. We need to become to a place where we become self-aware as believers. Emotional intelligence is so important. You know, something we don't talk about enough in the body of Christ or in the workplace, but it's so important. Emotional intelligence is so important. When you're able to catch yourself before you do something and self-correct and self-regulate, it's so important that even as you go through your wilderness, catch yourself and ensure that no matter what, that you are bearing the fruit of the Spirit. People experience love through you, joy, kindness, goodness, self-control, faithfulness through you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Number 6, be intentional about your personal growth. Joseph did not waste the wilderness. He grew from just having dreams to being able to interpret dreams. He grew his administrative gift to the point that he was able to even rule a whole nation. Proverbs 18 verse 15 says, the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. While in the wilderness, be intentional about your personal growth. Study the word, read books, take courses, improve or build new skills, learn new information about that is relevant to where you are going, what you are trusting God for. Keep growing, keep learning, keep increasing your capacity, and to prepare you for when your breakthrough comes. Amen. Be intentional about personal growth, even when it's hard. I mean, we push through to go to work every day. Even in the middle of winter, you wake up and you're cursing and swearing and like, oh God, why do I have to wake up to go to work? But we get up because someone is going to give you a paycheck because you're accountable to somebody. So without being accountable, to be accountable to yourself and say, I will grow even in my desert, even in my wilderness experience. I will be deliberate to grow myself and to prepare myself for that next level so that when the level comes, I'm already prepared for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Number seven. Sorry, there's 12, eh? We're on number seven, so we're halfway done. Reach out for support. This is so important. Reach out for support. Don't isolate. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 10 says, two are better than one. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. Even Jesus surrounded himself with others. No one is an island. Don't go through your storm alone. I know that's our default setting. For whatever reason why the human mind works like that, once you're going through something, you want to isolate, you want to cut off from people, you want to stop going to church, stop taking calls. And that's when you say, I want to find myself, you know, all those strange things that we say. But we isolate. And that is a trap from the enemy. Isolation is a trap from the enemy. Because when he isolates you, he's able to break you and just make you lose hope and lose faith because you have no one else speaking positively into your ears. You're only hearing his voice telling you, you are nothing, you cannot make it, you're always going to be in this situation, nothing's going to change for you, why are you even here, why are you even fighting for this, it would be better if you were dead, you know, the enemy just speaks to you because you're isolated, so fight isolation, in that season, that's why we're meant to have a community of people, a friend, a group, in the Bible talk about David, went back to his company. He went back to his company. Everyone should have a company of friends that they can trust when they're going through stuff, for emotional support, for physical support. So just so pray with me. Today is a hard day. Pray with me. I'm struggling. You know, even church, you have us as your pastors that you can reach out to us and say, Pastor, today is a hard day. I'm feeling overwhelmed by all that I'm going through. Can you please speak a word of prayer over me? Or can I just vent to you? Sometimes you don't even want prayer. You just want to be able to vent to somebody. And after that, you feel better. You need to have that company of people that you can trust. Not everybody. You cannot trust everybody. But there are those people, those hand-picked people that God will send to you, that you already have in your space, that you can trust and reach out to when you're going through stuff. So please, in your night season, in your desert place, in the storms of life, don't isolate. Reach out for support. Reach out for help. Amen. If Jesus could need help, who are you? Reach out for support, because we all need help. Hallelujah. Number eight, guard your heart from bitterness. That's a very important word. Guard your heart from bitterness, because it's so easy to become bitter and resentful towards life, towards people, towards God, towards that you can see that, or people that you can see that they have what you want. And you're saying, but God, this person doesn't even serve you. But this person, I know what they did yesterday. I know where they were last night. But why do they have the blessing and I'm still trusting you for it? We need to get to the point where we trust, guard our hearts from bitterness. Joseph had every reason to be bitter. But he refused to be bitter. He even wept over his brothers when he saw them with love. He was so happy to see them. I mean, if it was some of us, we'd be like, lock those men up, throw away the keys. You know, but he chose to forgive and to love them. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Hebrews 12:15 then says, see to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Let me say that again. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Bitterness blocks your blessings. Offense delays your destiny. Release it and let God restore you better than before. Refuse to allow that root of bitterness in your heart, irrespective of what you're going through. Guard your heart with all diligence. Number nine, remain in an attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude. Gratitude is a posture of champions. Even when life is hard, learn gratitude. There's always something to thank God for. Yes, this area of your life is in chaos, but that other area is probably working well. Your kids are healthy. You are healthy. You've got a stable job. You've got a roof over your head. You've got food on your table. There's so much to be grateful for. Let's not focus on what God has not already done or what we're going through. Learn to practice gratitude, even in the wilderness, because gratitude brings change. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Thanksgiving attracts provision and unlocks joy. If you can't thank God for the wilderness, then thank Him in the wilderness. Remain in a state of joy and gratitude. Thanksgiving is a weapon of warfare. And as you practice thanksgiving, it goes into war for you and causes the distance between what you want and what you get to be shorter. So practice thanksgiving, even when you don't feel like it. Amen. Number 10, storms don't last always. Storms don't last always. The season will shift. Say amen. Amen. The season will shift. The pit is not your final address. The palace is coming. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, storms don't last always. Tell your other neighbor, storms don't last always. The palace is coming. Hallelujah. Proverbs 23 verse 18 says, "Surely there is a future and your hope will not be cut off." Surely there is a future and your hope will not be cut off. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 17 says, "For our light affliction," he says what you're going through is a light affliction. Can you imagine? No matter how bad, no matter how terrible, no matter how, like, God, this thing is killing me. God is saying it's a light affliction. Wow. But it's working for you a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The wilderness is only for a season. Seasons come and seasons go. We're currently in winter right now. And hopefully very soon we're moving into spring. Even if I don't say hopefully, we are moving to spring in September. Whether I want it or not, spring is coming. Amen. After spring, summer is coming. Amen. So seasons come and seasons go. You will not always be in the pit. You will not always be in the prison. You will not always be going through what you're going through. You will not always be in the wilderness. So hang in there. Hallelujah. Hanging there. It's not always going to be this bad. There isn't always going to be pain. You're not always going to wake up and say, "God, when?" No. The seasons are going to shift. And they are shifting now in Jesus' name. They are shifting for you now in the mighty name of you. For surely there is an end. Say, surely there is an end. And my expectation shall not be cut off. Hallelujah. And the end is near for you. God will come through for you. So stay hopeful. Stay in faith. You're coming out better. You're coming out stronger. You're coming out wiser. Because this is not your end. Amen. The palace is your end. Not the pit. Not the prison. Not Potiphar's house. Hallelujah. 11. We're almost done. Even in the wilderness, God will sustain you. I love this scripture so much. Isaiah 58 verse 11. It says, "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a well-watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters do not fail." It says, "The Lord will guide you always, and He will satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a well-watered garden, and a spring of water, whose waters do not fail." Amen. God always sustains, even in the wilderness. There's a story I would like us to read from Genesis 21, verse 19 to 21. Genesis 21, 19 to 21 says, "Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad to drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew, and he dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him for the land of Egypt." Amen. You know, we all read that story about God providing water for Hagar and Hagar giving to Ishmael. But we don't read beyond that. It says, "And that God was with him, and that he grew and dwelt in the wilderness." So even in the wilderness, God was with Ishmael. He prospered in the wilderness. He thrived in the wilderness. He grew in the wilderness. It is possible that even while you're waiting for that breakthrough to come, that God will sustain you in the wilderness. He will cause you to thrive even in that wilderness. He will provide for you in the wilderness. He will not allow you to lack any good thing, because He's your supplier. He's your sufficiency. He's your provider. So even in the wilderness, trust Him that He will meet you at your point of need. He will never let you go to bed hungry. Amen. God sustained Hagar and Ishmael in the wilderness to a point where Ishmael thrived. You may not have everything, but you will not lack anything necessary. Provision always follows obedience, and God will sustain you in the desert. Glory to God. Finally, number 12, stay ready for your moment of promotion. Stay ready for your moment of promotion. Joseph stayed sharp so that when Pharaoh called him, he did not need a crash course. He was already prepared for his time for Pharaoh. The palace does not give you time to prepare. So use the wilderness to sharpen your sword, to build your skill, to develop yourself, to stay ready so that when opportunity comes, you are ready and you are prepared for that next level. Genesis chapter 41, verse 39 to 40 says, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And then Pharaoh says to him, you shall be over my house, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he became the second in command because he was ready. That even in the wilderness, he was building his capacity. He was improving his skills. He was getting better. He was getting stronger so that when his breakthrough came, he was ready to embrace it. So as you're in this wilderness experience, prepare yourself, grow, learn, stay in the word, stay in prayer. Watch your attitude. Be expectant. Find the helpers. Discern the helpers. Because God has a breakthrough coming through for you. And when it's coming through, you must be ready to embrace it when it comes. Amen. So you're not stuck. You're just passing through. You're not stuck. You're just passing through. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I am passing through. I am passing through. This is not my final destination. I am going forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The wilderness is not your destination. It's the hallway between prophecy and fulfillment. God is not testing you. He's sustaining you. He's preparing you for elevation. He's not punishing you for failure. Walk through this season with faith, with wisdom, and with readiness. Remember that no matter what you're facing, you're going to come out victorious. Amen. We read in that passage in Romans 8:37 that we're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. You are more than a conqueror. You're not your shame. You're not your past. You're not your present. You're not your failure. You're not your wilderness. Amen. You are more than a conqueror. And God is with you. And God is for you. And God has only the best in store for you. So as you go through this season of wilderness, know that it is not going to last always. Change is coming. Hope is coming. Help has found you.